Hello, hello, and welcome to another fun episode of Broad Street Hockey Radio. I am Kelly, and I have here with me Kurt R. and Charlie O'Connor, and we are going to talk about everything that you want to talk about with regard to the Flyers' upcoming season, which starts tomorrow. Very, very exciting stuff. If you would like to call in with a question, you can give us a call at area code 347-826-7864. And with that, we'll get right into it. And I think we should start with, obviously, the most exciting thing that's ever happened in any of our lives. Andrew McDonald was waived and made it through waivers because he's terrible and will now ruin the Lehigh Valley Phantoms for as long as he is down there. So let's talk about that great news. Kurt, would you like to start?
Well, Kelly, firing right out the gate. Damn. it was a little bit of a shock. I mean, I thought it would maybe be possible that one of the established NHLers on the blue line, McDonald, Shen, or really it was either going to be McDonald or Luke Shen, could possibly have been waived. But I thought that at the beginning of camp, I thought that would be an option for Ron Hextall if they wanted to keep one of the young guys up here. But this wasn't even really that. This was they needed to make room on the roster, and then decided Andrew McDonald was the most expendable. And it was a little jarring. I mean, we all know his contract's sitting right there, and he's not that good. And yet, I still don't really think any of us saw this coming. But Charlie argued last week, and I assume we'll talk about that shortly, that this was a move that would have made more sense if the Flyers were trying to not lose anyone on the waivers. But it's still pretty shocking to see. We're 18 months removed from him signing that mammoth extension. The guy who signed that extension is still sitting in the Flyers front office right now. And this happening despite that, it's pretty nuts. Charlie, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I guess Holmgren's technically in the front office, although I feel like he's plugging away in the same place that Howie Roseman's plugging away in the Eagles front office.
Yeah.
He's there, but not really. You mentioned the choice between Luke Shen and Andrew McDonald. On Saturday, the whole thing really got kicked off because McDonald and Shen were on the fourth pairing at practice, and immediately there were rumors flying from the beat writers that Luke Shen might get sent down. And it really never made sense to send Shen down because Shen has 1 year left in his contract, and quite frankly, Shen's a better defenseman than McDonald. So if they were to waive Luke Shen, I really think someone would have picked him up. I think somebody may have had a need for an experienced seventh defenseman with 1 year left on his contract, whereas Andrew McDonald has 5 years left on a contract that's looking like really one of the worst contracts in the NHL. And the chances of anybody picking that contract up, pretty slim. And as I mentioned in my article on Saturday, if someone did pick that contract up, it would have been the greatest day of the season for the Flyers. But if the Flyers wanted to send down a veteran defenseman because they decided that they wanted Brandon Manning in the starting lineup and they wanted Radko Gudas on the team to start the year, it made a lot more sense to send Andrew McDonald down versus Luke Shen. And I give Ron Hextall all the credit in the world for looking at the situation, evaluating who was less likely to get picked up and who really had more value to the team, keeping that guy and sending down McDonald despite how embarrassing it really had to have been for the franchise as a whole. This is admitting 1 year into a six-year, $30 million deal, essentially that you made a huge mistake, and it takes a lot of guts to admit that and just purely put the team in the here and now first. So I give Ron Hextall all the credit in the world for making the move, and it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Like Kurt, I was pretty shocked. It's obviously something that, we liked to see, but not something that I expected to see. And, like Charlie, it's great to see that the front office is more interested in icing the absolute best lineup for game one of the season than they are in, playing a guy that's making a lot of money or making sure that the front office isn't embarrassed by terrible, terrible decisions. So that, I think, is pretty promising. I think it shows that the team's heading in the right direction, which we've kind of seen over the last couple of months. And we seem to be continuing that trend going forward. And in that same vein, go ahead.
You know, I mean, he'll not to throw a wet blanket on here. He'll probably be back at some point, right? Like it's I don't know.
Yeah, I was actually just going to ask when you guys thought he would be back.
Oh, well, sorry to step on your toes there, but
that's okay.
I guess it could be just when someone gets injured, because I mean, there's no little cap ramification for them to do it, because most of his cap hit is still on the books, even though he got demoted. Then could just be when the defense starts struggling, which I mean, to be honest, probably will at some point. But yeah, I mean, he'll be back at some point. I don't think that, like, he's pretty much the one guy of all the guys on the roster where I can't envision any scenario where he gets traded. So he's not going anywhere. And if someone does get hurt or gets injured and Hextall still decides that prospects aren't ready, then yeah, he'll be back up. I don't think they'll keep him there forever. But until then, it's kind of fun to look at.
Yeah, that's actually kind of the one thing that bums me out about it is that, you know, now at this point, obviously, Andrew McDonald is going to be the first guy called up should we need any kind of replacement on defense, which means that it might be a little longer until we see Ghost or one of the other young guys making a move up to the Flyers, which kind of bums me out a little bit. I would like to see Ghost called up at some point this year, but I guess he's going to have to wait for that second opening at this point.
Yeah, McDonald's the, I guess he's the logical choice, but I do think really that if Ghost shows that he's fully healthy, which I think he showed in training camp, but I do think that the team wants to see him in full games, at least for a month or so. But I think if Ghost is banging down the door, I don't think they're going to let a guy like Andrew McDonald hold him back. I'm an optimist when it comes to Ghost and how quickly he's going to come up. I think he'll be up before the end of the calendar year. Just because I think he's really close, and I think if he shows a little bit more acumen in the defensive zone, I think they'll call him up. I think he's really, really close to being ready. And I think there was a report I think it was last week when somebody said that basically if Ghost hadn't missed the year that he would be up. He's right there. And, well, I agree that McDonald will probably get the call at some point over the next couple months, maybe sooner, due to injury or something like that. If Ghost puts up the production and has the level of play that I think he's going to in the AHL, I don't think he'll be long for Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, I think it was actually Hextall who said that the only thing holding Ghost back was the fact that he had to take all of last year off to an injury. So, I mean, that is pretty promising that the general manager of the team is that high on him. It's pretty good to see, I think.
And I mean, it's fair. He's, you know, that's like a serious injury. Took the guy out of hockey for 5 months. And I mean, I wasn't too surprised to see him get sent down in the sense that the team didn't think he was NHL ready last November when the injury happened. And all he's done since then is play in like 4 preseason games. So the fact that he's back there isn't surprising, but they think he's close. The fact that he got that brief call up last year indicates that he's close enough that the team can rely on him in a pinch, which I think means that he'll be up at some point soon.
Yeah, all right. Now, speaking of roster moves, we finally have what looks like the final roster for tomorrow night's season opener against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Looks like Vinny's going to be scratched, which is kind of, you know, like waving AMAC up. Pretty exciting thing because it shows that they're interested in icing the best lineup and not just playing guys that make a lot of money. What do you guys think of the final roster that Dave Hextall has set in advance of tomorrow night's game? Charlie, how about you?
For the most part, I like it. I do think that in terms of the defense, I think they've dressed the 6 best defensemen that are on NHL contracts. I think it's nice to see them finally give Brandon Manning a shot right out of the gate. One thing that I think a lot of people, I know Kevin here at BSH has complained about this for years, is that they don't give the young guys who could potentially be serviceable third-pairing defensemen a legitimate shot, and then they complain that they don't have legitimate third-pairing defensemen, and then they go out and sign guys to big deals to play on the third pairing, when you may have guys right there in your organization for cheap. And I think it's cool that they're finally giving Manning a shot. I think he earned it. I think he played pretty well in preseason. But I'm curious to see how he does, and I'm glad that Dave Haxtell decided to dress Luke Shen over Radko Gudas. I think Shen's the better defenseman right now. I think he's been the better defenseman in his career. I'm interested to see how Gudas will play, and I'm sure he'll get a shot at some point over the next couple weeks. But I think Shen earned it, and it's nice to see Haxtell move Shen back into the starting lineup after having him on the fourth pairing over the weekend. The forwards, I'm happy that Vinny's not playing because I don't see where he fits. Sam Gagner being scratched, though, is a little bit of an eyebrow raiser, and I guess I'll pass the mic over to Kurt because I know he has a couple of things to say about this one.
Yeah, mostly, guys, I'm still pretty upset that Chris Porter got waived. I'm kidding. People were really upset about Chris Porter getting waived and claimed last week. I'm trying to make a joke. It didn't land. I'm sorry. I mean, the roster, like Charlie said, looks about, other than, you know, Andrew McDonald not being here, looks about what you'd expect it would. Lines are all pretty fluid. I'll get to Gagner in a second. I'm most interested otherwise in seeing where Scott Laughton sort of sticks, because I don't think Ron Hextall will keep him up here unless they had him penciled into the third line. And it seems like that is going to be the case, because I think they've got Vanderbilt, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, and Ryan White penciled into that fourth line, which leaves Laughton in that third line spot, which is good. I think that, I mean, Ron Hextall came out and said he flat out earned a spot on this team, and we are a better team with Scott Laughton in. And that's exciting. It was an important year for him. He looked pretty good in parts last year outside of the couple months where he was dealing with the after effects of what was probably a concussion. And I'm excited to see him really try and prove that he deserves to be at the NHL level indefinitely moving forward. The one real big quirk in the lineup, like Charlie mentioned, was a Sam Gagner not being in. Definitely something that I don't really agree with. It seems like a lot of people are framing this as either Gagner or RJ Umberger is going to be in the lineup, and they like Umberger in because they like how he skated in the preseason, like how he looks better, looks like he's healed from his injury. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But for me, it comes down to this. I don't think the Flyers were 21st in the NHL in goals last year. They were 25th in the NHL in 5-on-5 scoring. 25th. And I don't think that, like, Sam Gagner is probably getting scratched because of quote-unquote defensive issues, like the fact that he's a defensive liability, which, I mean, he probably is. I don't think he's a very good defensive forward. Most of his contributions are going to have to come with the puck on his stick. But at the same time, I don't think this is a team that can afford to scratch Sam Gagner for an extended amount of time with the lineup they've got in place. And, I mean, we've talked, like, there's been a lot of talk ever since the Flyers traded Zach Rinaldo. There's been a lot of talk about him. Remember when that happened? How great was that? There's been a lot of talk about him. Ever since the Flyers traded Rinaldo, talk about rolling four skilled lines. And with due respect to the guys that the Flyers have on the fourth line, so Vanderbilt, Belmar, and White, some of whom play important roles on the penalty kill, who are good energy guys, with due respect to those guys, I don't think that you can roll – I don't think that the Flyers right now are in a position where they can afford to bench a guy who has topped a half point per game for 8 seasons running now, a guy who clearly – adds more to the lineup offensively than at least 4 guys who are going to be dressing ahead of him, and maybe more. And if it's just like a 1 or 2 time thing, sure. But I don't think that this should be a very long lasting fixture in the lineup. I think Sam Gagner should be in sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually kind of looking forward to seeing what he could bring to this team when they decided not to buy him out. It was kind of like, okay, well, he's going to be here, so let's see what he can do. And it's kind of disappointing that we're not going to get to see that to start the season. But like Kurt said, hopefully he'll be in the lineup sooner rather than later, and we can get a look at what he brings to this team. Yeah.
Sorry, again, I'm jumping all over people here. But one other just completely selfish aesthetic sort of thing. If Sam Gagner is not in the lineup tomorrow, the Flyers forward group will pretty much be the exact same as the one they were rolling last season. There will be no new players in the Flyers lineup. Maybe you can include Scott Laughton in that group, but for all intents and purposes, it's guys who were here last year. And just for the sake of, you know, having something new and fun to look forward to up front, I kind of want him in there. You know what I mean? It's just a little more interesting. But, yeah, like I said, I think he'll be back in eventually, and if not, then, well, it could be a problem. But that's just my final complaint about this.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that then. Obviously, it's the preseason games that allow the front office and the coaching staff to make these lineup decisions, and this preseason we had a lot of new things to look at, some new players, some prospects, and of course the big one is our new head coach, Dave Hextall. Charlie, what did you learn over the course of the preseason about what we're going to see out of our new head coach?
Sure, I think with Hextall, a lot of people came away impressed with what he seems to value in his system and what he seems to value in players. And I definitely was of the same mind. He definitely is focusing on, number one, an aggressive forecheck, and number two, aggressiveness in the neutral zone, which is pretty neat because Craig Berube did not employ an aggressive forecheck at all, and he tended to preach more passiveness in the neutral zone. He definitely wanted his forechecks back, or his forwards back checking. But he seemed to be more of the opinion that the defenseman should give a little bit of space but keep shots to the outside. Whereas Hextall seems to want his defenseman to move up in the neutral zone to kind of cut off passing lanes and pressure the opposing forwards as they're trying to break out, which is refreshing. And I think the only concern is that I'm not sure if they have the personnel to do it at this point. I do think they have some players that are going to thrive in the system. I think there are others that are going to struggle. But I'm excited that he's implementing it now because I think they have the personnel coming. I think guys like Goss is there, guys like Sanheim and Provorov, guys like Robert Haig, and then on the forward side, I think guys like Travis Konecny, who maybe is 1-2 years away. I think those guys would really flourish in the system that Hextall seems to be implementing. And I like the idea of them getting a head start on it. You might as well figure out who can hang with the new system and who can't, rather than try to dumb it down because of the personnel. At least to start. Maybe if they break out to an 0-5 start, then you can start thinking about, okay, well, maybe only certain defensive pairings can activate to the level that I would prefer, and you can adjust. But the start of the season, I want to see who can do it and who can't. And I'm happy with what I've seen so far from Hextall and what he seems to be valuing. And I guess now it just comes down to how it's going to look on the ice once the game starts. And I'll freely admit I expect they're going to lose on Thursday because Tampa Bay is just a stacked team. But hopefully they can at least hang with them. That'd be nice.
Charles, honestly, they're very clearly winning tomorrow.
Okay.
Luck. Total lock. Take it to the bank. Kurt, I think you have something for us.
Yeah, we got a caller on the line. Matt, you there?
Hi there. How's it going?
Hi, how are
good,
you tonight?
Good.
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm in the lovely state of Rhode Island, and my first comment is, of course, everyone's very mad up here about the Zach Rinaldo trade, and I always get a kick out of that because I'm glad we unloaded him at the time we did. It's great to hear all my colleagues up here talk about that. It's like, man, why did we trade him? It's like, I don't know. You took him. Anyway, so the main reason why I called is because you hear from a lot of sources out there that the Flyers are not going to do very well this year. And there's a lot of talk about, well, you know, Luke Shen is looking, you know, is a trade piece along the lines of, you know, either beginning of the season or near the trade deadline just because of his contract. But I would also say that there's certain other defensemen that could be traded at that time as well. But the one guy I don't see other people really talking about, and I'm not sure why anyone on Broad Street Hockey is talking about this either, is that Medvedev is on a one-year contract. I know he's from the KHL. He's coming into the NHL. This is his first year. He looks really good in preseason. And even if he's above average based upon his numbers in the preseason, I really think he would be but just a solid piece for a team to just take him on, you know, at the trade deadline. And we could get some solid picks, if not prospects in that trade. And I really think that'd be something a lot of people aren't really talking about that much. And I understand that he's probably close to some of our best defensemen that we have right now on the main roster. You know, you could debate that in terms of what we have on in the Phantoms team right now. But I really think that that's something that, you know, should be warranted down the line, and it'd be an interesting prospect to understand.
Yeah, I think you raise a really good point. And I think it's definitely possible that that Medvedev could be a trade piece. But I think the reason why people are kind of avoiding that talk at this point is because I don't think we really know what he is yet. Obviously, he's looked great in preseason. And if that's any indication, he's going to be a valuable defenseman for the team. But we just don't really know what his value is. You know, he may go
right
out there and be fantastic and be a borderline first pair guy, and then if the team's still not competitive, I absolutely think he'll be a potential trade piece. If he goes out there and he's okay, then also maybe anybody that's on a one-year deal is going to be attractive to teams in contention if they look like they're top four material. But he also could go out there and be bad. I don't think that's going to happen, but he could. And because there's that risk, I think that's kind of why people are avoiding talking about him as a trade piece. But I agree. I think if he's strong and if he's one of the top two or three defensemen on this team, then absolutely. I think that he's a possibility to be moved.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, not to be the total homer here on the show, but we've not even played a game yet. I know that there's not a whole lot to be positive about after last season and the fact that we weren't able to change the lineup in a real wholesale kind of way, but I think before we start talking about trading anyone, we should see what this team is, see how they look together, see how they gel, see how the chemistry is, see how a defense without Nicholas Grossman and Andrew McDonald might look. I mean, I think we're probably kidding ourselves if we expect this team to be fantastic, but they might be okay, maybe. So maybe we give it a couple of weeks before we start talking about trading guys, but I would agree that if this team is very obviously not a playoff team come deadline time, I think there's going to be a lot of guys that end up as potential trade targets for other teams in the league.
Right. I mean, sorry to cut you off, but in that other perspective, I guess I'll play devil's advocate on you as well in terms of where we were last year. At one point, we were only 2 points away from the wild card spot, and there was a moment when, you know, we thought we were going to get back into it and be able to be in contention. It just didn't happen like that. I still feel there's enough history with a lot of these players because our roster has changed a tad, but I think the core of it really hasn't, and there's some missing elements to this team that really is going to kind of slot us still into that fifth or sixth slot within the standings in the division.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. We don't necessarily know for sure, but I think that there is a reason a lot of people aren't super high on this team. Like, it's funny, you look at all of the roundups for season predictions, you're like 80% of them probably have the Flyers sitting at sixth in the Metro, which is, you know, not a playoff spot. They could be more. I think a lot would have to go right, but they could be more. And we'll talk a bit more about why it could be more in a few minutes. But, yeah, I mean, they could be in a position. There also could be a lot that goes wrong, and this could be one of the worst teams in the NHL. And then if that's the case, there could be a big sell-off run. We'll see.
All right. Hey, excellent, guys. Thanks again for the call. I really enjoy these podcasts as well as the website.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, man. All right. Yeah, it is funny. Everywhere you look, the Flyers are sixth in the Metro. And let's swing over into that. What are some reasons, not to steal our host's thunder here, what are some reasons, if you want to jump in, why this team could be better than everyone expects? And let's frame that however you want, either in terms of the roster or in terms of why they're going to be better than sixth in the Metro. What do you think in that sense?
I'm going to jump in here real quick. I think they're going to be better than people are expecting, because I think that people are expecting some kind of dramatic regression from Steve Mason. And I'm pretty confident in an optimistic way that he is going to continue to play as well as he did last year. And if the defense is a tiny bit better than it was last year, which it should be just by means of addition by subtraction, and if Voracek continues to be incredibly awesome, and if Giroux starts to score goals at home, even strength, you know, you might end up with a team that kind
well,
of sneaks in. You never know. But I personally think, just based on sheer optimism, that this team is going to be better than people are expecting them to be. They're going to have a tough time, just by virtue of the fact that our conference or our division is pretty tough. But I think they might be able to sneak in to a wild card spot if everything falls into the right place.
Yeah, I agree with Kelly. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that the Flyers could take a serious run at the playoffs. I really do think, though, that the key factor is just going to be Hextall in the system. I know there's obviously a lot of talk, for example, in Toronto, they're switching from a particularly bad coach to a particularly good coach, and from Randy Carlyle to Mike Babcock. And there's been some analysis run that essentially says that Randy Carlyle suppresses their 5v5 possession numbers by about 5%, which is pretty drastic. So you can guess that the coaching changes can have a major effect on possession and then in turn goal scoring and goal prevention. So if Dave Hextall proves to be a pretty sizable step up from Craig Berube, the Flyers could make a pretty big improvement. And so far, I think the system changes are promising. Obviously, there's still a lot to be seen in the regular season, but if Hextall's system works, the Flyers are in pretty good shape. And the other person that I think is going to be a major factor in deciding whether the Flyers are a playoff team or whether they're in the lottery is going to be Evgeny Medvedev. Because if he can be a legitimate top four defenseman, a replacement for Braden Coburn, essentially, then this defense doesn't look awful. It doesn't look great, but it doesn't look awful. It's good enough behind a fantastic top line and really a pretty good middle six. If Medvedev is a bust, then they're in trouble, and then things can get really out of hand. But I could envision a team with Evgeny Medvedev, Mark Streit, and Michael Delzato anchoring each of the three pairings, making a run at the postseason. If Medvedev doesn't turn out to be any good, then they're going to be in the Austin Matthews sweepstakes. So I think if I had to point to two things, it would be Hextall's system and then the performance of Evgeny Medvedev is really going to decide whether this team's going to win a lot, because I'm confident that Claude Giroux and Jacob Voracek are going to stay good. I'm even confident that Steve Mason is going to continue to be a good goalie. I don't know if he's going to put up a .928 save percentage, but I think he's going to be above average. I don't think he's going to drag the team down. But I think the new coach and the new defender are really going to decide the season for the Flyers.
Yeah, I pretty well agree with that. We're looking at what is a pretty similar team, so the new players are important. I do think I mentioned this in our series of over-under posts that we ran on the site, so just a number of various predictions that I think 8 or 9 of our writers made guesses on. I did mention, just to tie it all in with Medvedev there, this team doesn't – I don't know if they have even one defenseman that we can, like, confidently say he's going to be able to go out there, play against good players, and not get totally caved in. Because, like, think of the times recently where the Flyers made the playoffs, even just two seasons ago in Ruby's first full year. Timo Timonen and Braden Coburn were that pairing, and the Flyers made the playoffs pretty comfortably, actually. Basically, the Flyers, need to make sure that they have at least one defenseman who can, like, do that, who they can, you know, unflinchingly send out in difficult situations. And right now, Evgeny Medvedev has the best chance to be that. They sent out Nick Schultz in those situations a lot last year, and he got his face beaten. And I don't think that they really want to do that. I think Nick Schultz is a kind of limited player. He surprised last year, could be the third pair guy. But I think Medvedev is the one who has the best chance to be that. And this team is probably going nowhere fast if he can't be. If he can, that sort of twists everything. Like that could drastically increase this team's chances of being good. So yeah, I'm just sort of backing up what Charlie said there.
Yeah, it seems like we're kind of all on the same page. This kind of leads into a question that we got from one of our commenters on the site, 28G. He would like to know what you guys would consider a successful season for the Flyers this year. What would you walk away happy with? Kurt, why don't we start with you?
There are a couple ways for it to be successful. We'll say that we'll assume being bad enough to have a good chance to end up getting Austin Matthews in April isn't an option. That could happen, but it's not something to really count on, you know, especially with the new lottery rules this year and the fact that there are still some really, really bad teams out there. Basically, I just want confidence that this team's long-term piece, like, so basically there are sort of a lot of factors still up in the air in terms of this team's long-term future. Guys like Dave Hextall, forwards like Sean Couturier, Braden Schenn, defensemen like Delzato, the prospects, potentially even Medvedev if they see him as a guy who can stay around for longer than this year. We already know Claude Giroux and Jacob Voracek are going to be fine. We already are fairly confident that Steve Mason is at least an above-average NHL goalie who's going to end up, who, if all goes right and if he stays healthy, will be this team's netminder for a long time. What we don't know is basically how those like variables, those sort of X factors, are going to work out. Because no matter what, this team isn't going to contend for a cup this year. If everything goes right, they could make a little bit of a run, but they're not beating the best in this conference in the 7-game series. When you think of it that way, the best thing that they could do this year is just see as many of those possible long-term pieces make progress. So we've been talking about Braden Schenn breaking out for, this is at least the third season in a row now. If he does that, it would help. We've been talking about Sean Couturier establishing himself, and this matters even more now that he is locked in for 7 years. We've talked about him establishing himself as a guy who isn't just a defensive specialist. If he can do that, then that matters more than most of the on-ice results are going to. If Michael Delzato plays like he did last year, gets better in the defensive zone, proves that he can be a long-term piece, then that matters. Basically, I want to have more certainty in the future of this franchise, because I don't think they're going to win it this year. So I want to know that hopefully, like 3-4 years from now, when they're in a position to win it, that guys that are on the roster now, I want guys that are on the roster now to make the case that they're going to be on those teams and being key parts of it. Because a lot's going right this offseason, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And I want to see how much of that work we'll sort of see come to fruition this year in terms of the long-term progress of this franchise.
Charlie, what would success look like for you this year?
Yeah, I guess on paper success would be finding a way to make the playoffs. That to me would be, and you wouldn't have to necessarily make a serious run, but I think in terms of results-wise success, slipping in as a wild card would be a successful season. And I think Ron Hextall would probably agree with that. I think Dave Hextall would agree with that. I think Hextall is a he's a rational guy, and he can look at this team objectively and say that they're not as good as Tampa Bay's of the world, the Rangers, the Capitals, the Penguins. They're not one of the elite teams in the Eastern Conference, and you can't expect that Dave Hassel is going to drag this team to a divisional title. At the same time, I agree with Kurt that this team could be bad and still have a successful season if the long-term pieces look good. if, say, one of the young defensive prospects they have in the AHL, I think Gostisbehere is probably the most likely, but Hag is pretty close too. If one of those guys jumps into the top six in the NHL and proves to be, you know, a positive possession player and somebody who can put up points at the NHL level, if that happened, I could deal with the team being pretty bad, because then you've got one piece on the defense that you can trust that's on a cheap contract for the next 5 or 6 years. I also agree that, you know, good seasons from Sean Couturier, Braden Schenn would be huge. I'd really like to see a jump from Scott Laughton, who we talked about a little bit earlier. He's going to be given the third line center role, at least to start the year. I'd like to see him at least show that he can score points at the NHL level and isn't going to just be a good fourth line center, that he can be a top nine forward. So I agree that production from key younger pieces and development from the prospects is probably the most important thing, because this team isn't going to win a championship, even if they were to have some sort of fluky lucky season like Calgary did last year, where the percentages went in their favor and they went on a surprising run. That's the absolute best thing they can hope for, and it's not a long-term sustainable plan. So success from a result standpoint, playoffs. Success from a long-term standpoint, totally agree with Kurt. It would be development of the young guys, and hopefully one of the prospects jumps in the NHL and surprises.
Okay, so that's what success would look like to you. What are you realistically expecting from this team over the course of the season? Charlie, go ahead.
Realistically, I think they're going to be in the race. And that's because I'm pretty optimistic on Dave Haxtell. I like what I've seen. I like what I've heard. He seems like a sharp guy who has good ideas, and I think he'll get a lot out of this team. I would say if you put a gun to my head and said, what do you think the Flyers are going to finish in the Metro? I would probably say sixth. I don't know if they're good enough to break in that top five. And even if they did, I don't know if they would be able to rack up enough points to grab one of the wild cards. But I don't think they're going to be terrible. I think they're going to be better than they were last year, just by virtue of the fact that they dumped a lot of dead weight. And they lost Nicholas Grossman. They're at least not going to be starting the season with Andrew McDonald. They lost Zach Rinaldo. They lost a lot of pieces that made the team actively worse when they were on the ice. So just by virtue of that, they're going to be better. I think they're going to be more exciting. I think they're going to be more fun to watch. And I think they're going to stay in the race for a while. But I think in the end, the Metro is a little bit too deep, and they just have too many flaws in the back end to sneak in.
Kurt, what do you realistically expect?
Yeah, I don't really disagree. Like, I think, in all likelihood, they'll probably be about as good as they were last year, maybe a little bit better. I think this roster is a little bit better than last year's, but at the same time, at this point of the year, out of 30 NHL teams, probably 27, 28 fan bases are saying, yeah, I think our roster is better than it was last year. So I'm not I don't think they'll be, like, eliminated in February or anything like that. But I think a lot would need to go right for them to make a serious run. And there's just too much going on in front of them in the standings to really see them end up in a playoff spot. I'm not as high on Columbus as others. So I could maybe even see them finishing fifth. But I also think Carolina is better than people are giving them credit for, so maybe they could also finish seventh. Not New Jersey. New Jersey is awful. Like, they're going to be really, really bad.
Ooh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, probably about as good as last year, but hopefully in a sort of different way. I think that, you know, like I said, like Charlie said, they should be more interesting. They'll have a little bit of that sort of new coach shine. And I think, generally speaking, we'll all be a little more optimistic about the franchise, even as things are sort of rough, than we were at this time last year and as all last year went on. So even if they finish with like 85, 86 points, which is probably about where they'll be, they had 84 last year. So even if it's just a modest improvement, I think that we can take progress from it. But at the same time, I do think that is where they'll be. And sixth in the Metro, because it's not a prediction about the Flyers without putting them sixth in the Metro. Kelly, what about you?
Well, the irrational hockey fan in me would like to think that they are most definitely going to make the playoffs this year. Realistically, I think that might depend more on how other teams perform than how the Flyers perform. I think that there's going to have to be a team that at this point is predicted to finish above the Flyers in the Metro that ends up not being as good as people are expecting them to be. I'm not really sure who that's going to be. Maybe Columbus, like Kurt said, but I don't know. Last year they were pretty fun, so that might continue. I think if I'm being really honest with myself, yeah, sixth in the Metro seems to be the logical place to put the Flyers at this point. Just wanted to remind our listeners really quickly that if you want to give us a call with a question or a comment, you can do so at area code 347-826-7864. And just kind of coming off of that, who do you guys have coming out of the East at this point? Who do you think is the favorite to make it to the finals? Charlie, let's start with you.
I just find it really tough to see anybody being better than the Tampa Bay Lightning. I really think that they have a window where a lot of their young forwards are going to be on really cheap deals. They also have a window when they know they have Steven Stamkos, and that ends this year. Well, I think they're going to re-sign him. That there's uncertainty there. He's an elite player. It helps to win. It helps when you're chasing after a championship when you have one of the top 5 to 10 players in the world, and Steven Stamkos is definitely one of them. After the season, there's a non-zero chance they won't have him. So I think Tampa knows that this is their time. They were great last year. Granted, some of the percentages were favorable to them, but just top to bottom, they're a deep team. And they have an advantage this year because if they were to get back into the finals, they're not going to face a monster of a team like Chicago, because Chicago had to trade away and had to let go a lot of really good players. So while they're still good, they're not the kind of the unbeatable force they were last year. Tampa, to me, is the obvious favorite in the East. If anybody can top them, the Rangers are obviously always a threat as long as Henrik Lundqvist is still Henrik Lundqvist. And I like some of the moves Washington made. I like them getting TJ Oshie. I like them getting Justin Williams. So I think they'll be a threat. But to me, the West is wide open, and the East really is Tampa's to lose.
Kurt, how about you? Who do you see coming out of the East at this point?
Yeah, I mean, how do you not pick Tampa? I mean, it's there's a pretty good chance they don't end up winning it because, I mean, the playoffs are nuts, and in 7 games anything can happen. But, like, look at that team. They brought back their entire team from last year, pretty much, and they're all still young. No one was surprised when they made that run to the final. And, yeah, short of injuries to Stamkos or Hedman or anyone important like that, and even last year. I don't remember if Victor Hedman was hurt last year or the year before that, but
he was hurt for a little bit last
year.
That
team, okay, yeah, that was it, yeah. I think early in the year, but he came back. But barring significant injury, the only thing that I see derailing Tampa as, like, favorite in the East would be if something drastic happens with Steven Stamkos in terms of his contract. Like, if the team finds, like, if it becomes evidently clear to them that he's not going to come back next summer, and I'm getting way ahead of myself to even, like, suggest that right now. And even if that's the case, they probably still – I think there's a chance they hang onto him and go for one run at the Cup. But unless he gets, like, dealt or something like that to a team that he may want to sign with, I don't think that you can call anyone but them the favorite. As to what I expect the East to look like, it does seem like you've almost got an obvious, like, top 7 or so. I mean, the top 4 teams in the Metro are all getting various amounts of love via Penguins, Rangers, Islanders, and Capitals. I'm higher on the Islanders than most are. They need a little bit better goaltending this year, but if they do that, I think they can skate with anyone in the East. And then as far as the Atlantic, Tampa will obviously be good. Montreal, I don't think they're a great team, but I have a hard time seeing them missing the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're as good as their record last year indicated, but they'll be in the playoffs. Detroit is interesting to me because, I mean, they no longer have Mike Babcock, but a lot of people are really optimistic about what Jeff Blashill will bring to them, or bring to that that team. They've got some more young talent in there. They probably make it because they're the Red Wings. And then that last spot, you're looking at either those last four teams in the Metro, so the Flyers, Jackets, Canes, or Devils, or someone else in the Atlantic. And that last spot's tough. We've made fun of them a lot in the offseason, pretty much everyone has, and for good reasons. But at the same time, as long as Patrice Bergeron, Zdeno Chara, and Tuukka Rask are in Boston, I have a hard time thinking they won't at least get that eighth spot, at which point anything can happen. I don't think they're a great team, but they've got, like, the foundation there, even if it's getting a little long in the tooth. But, yeah, let's put them in as my last playoff team for now. That's what I see happening in the East. Anywho, we've got one last caller in here. We're going to wrap it up pretty soon, but we have one last caller, and we're flipping over to him now. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Good. You said you wanted to talk to my coaches a bit?
Chuck, what's going on? Wanted to go back and just touch on, I guess, the difference between Hextall and Berube, what we might expect, the difference between Berube obviously having assistant coaching experience, NHL experience, versus Hextall obviously not having any of that experience. I don't really know too much as far as the differences between NHL and college. I thought maybe you guys might have a few insights on that.
Yeah, I can jump in. I think with Hextall, obviously there's going to be a learning curve. And one of the few things that I am legitimately concerned about on the Hextall side is his ability to keep players in line. It's a totally different motivation system when you're dealing with kids on scholarships versus men with paychecks and contracts. So I do worry about that. I think there's going to be some learning curve there in terms of how he's going to motivate players. At the same time, I think Hextall is going to bring a more aggressive system. And I don't think there's necessarily one system that is, I guess, the prevailing opinion in college, but I think Hextall in general, he seems like a forward-thinking guy. He seems like a guy who promotes the same sort of aggressiveness in the offensive zone and in the neutral zone that really helped teams like Tampa and Chicago last year not only win games but look really good doing it. So I'd expect to see a less passive team and a more push-the-play kind of team. Now, whether that's going to work, that remains to be seen. But I think regardless of whether the Flyers are going to be good or not, they're going to be a lot more entertaining to watch. And I think that really is going to be traced back to the changes that Dave Hextall is making with regards to what he's valuing in players and with regards to what he's telling players to do on the forecheck, in the neutral zone, and pressuring the puck in the defensive zone.
I agree they're definitely going to be exciting. And I think it might be telling that, you know, he can handle a pro as far as, you know, one of his initial moves or a couple of his initial moves involve something you guys talked about earlier as far as immediately putting Vinny in the box, as well as Gagne. So, you know, putting the skill on the ice as opposed to the money, I think is definitely a good sign. So hopefully we see more of that going forward, and hopefully his systems, you know, are, as you said, exciting, because that's why we like hockey.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty excited. I don't know about you guys. Pretty excited.
I am pumped. Cannot wait. What a time to be alive, right?
I was just going to say, we're living in a world where the Flyers don't have Zach Rinaldo, and we got a third-round pick for him, and we got it from Boston, which just makes it extra funny. So, yeah.
We only have to wait one minute to see what goes down.
I still can't believe that.
Thanks so much for calling in, guys. That's
yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
All right, I think we have time for one last thing before we wrap it up for tonight. Kurt, I'm going to start with you. Give me one player that you think will exceed expectation and one player you think is not going to live up to expectation.
Exceeds expectations. I would have gone with Scott Laughton here, but I think after the preseason, everyone's expectations for him are kind of jacked. You know what? Let's go with Luke Shen. Not because I think he's a great player, but because I think the way this preseason has gone for him, with the fact that before this morning everyone thought he was going to get scratched, and with the fact that everyone's been talking about how he's going to get traded, I feel like we've been talking about when the Flyers wanting to trade the Shens. You have to trade them together. It's in the rules for 3 years now. And
it's actually in the CBA. You have to trade them both.
Yeah, you can look it up. I think he's a fairly good defenseman who, and I know Charlie's talked about this before, knows what his limitations are and plays to them fairly well. So with the right guy, I think, and it sounds like he'll be with Medvedev tomorrow, which should be very interesting. I think he can be, a plus player for this team. Even if this is his last year, I think he'll be interesting. And even if he gets traded at the deadline, I think he'll help out more than some are expecting. So, who will disappoint? It's tough. I don't like being negative.
That's what we do with Broad Street Hockey.
Yeah,
we're negative
true.
About the Flyers. That's what we do.
We actually hate everyone. I don't like saying this. I really hate saying this. But let's go with I was going to say Michael Raffel because I think people are expecting him to put up like 30 plus goals this year, and that seems unrealistic. But yeah, you know what? Let's just go with that. I like him a lot, but I think people are expecting him to just sort of light everything on fire this year, and I hope he does. But I don't know. Maybe I expect to see him closer to like 20-some goals. People are talking about the opportunity he'll get with Drew and Voracek. The lines are going to change. He won't be on that. I'd be very surprised if he's on that wing forever. And I think he'll do well there, but at some point he'll probably move off of it. So I don't know. I like him a lot as a player, though, and I do want the team to re-sign him before the year ends. So, yeah. Charlie, how about you?
It's funny. I was actually thinking about saying Raffel for the guy who's going to exceed expectations. I do think Raffel's going to have a good year. I think the big thing for him is that he's finally going to get power play minutes, which he's really never gotten. Seems like he's going to start off the year on the first unit, which I think will be huge for his counting stats. But I'll go with a different guy for exceeding expectations. The one guy in the starting lineup who you could tell in preseason was having an absolute blast playing in the Dave Haxtell aggressive system was Michael Delzato. And Delzato's a guy who obviously got a lot of hype last year, having his rebound season, maybe a little bit too much hype because his defensive zone issues still existed. But he's a guy who is really going to, I think, thrive in this system that asks the defenseman to push the play, to jump into the offensive zone, to pinch, and then trust them to get back on defense if there's a counter rush. I feel like this is going to be a more run-and-gun team than it was last year, and Delzato's biggest weaknesses are really in the cycle. So I think Delzato not only is going to score a decent amount of points, I think he's going to look better on the possession sheet. I think he's going to look better via the eye test on defense. So I'm excited to see what he can do with Haxtell. With the same line of thinking, the guy who I'm concerned about, and you know maybe this is a guy who a lot of people in Broad Street Hockey aren't huge fans of, but I know that the general public seems to like him. A lot of the beats really like him. I'm really concerned about Nick Schultz this year. And what I saw in preseason didn't make me feel real good about it. Nick Schultz is a useful third-pair defenseman who last year got a lot of time in the top four and didn't do bad with it. Wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He showed he could take minutes, and he showed he wasn't going to make a lot of obvious mistakes. But this system is really involving the defenseman pushing the play, pushing up in the neutral zone, kind of cutting the ice in half. And Nick Schultz has really the same problem Andrew McDonald has, where he's pretty passive. He focuses more on getting people to the outs, getting the opposing forwards to the outside. Whenever the strike Schultz pairing was out there in preseason, they were still playing the Berube system, which kind of scares me. There was a real difference between the way that whatever pairing Medvedev was on and then whatever pairing Schultz was on in terms of how they were playing. And I worry that Schultz may not be able to adjust. And if he doesn't, that essentially the first pairing is supposed to be Strait and Schultz. I'm afraid that pairing is going to be bad. And I wonder if that's something that the coaching staff is going to recognize. And I wonder if Schultz can adjust at this stage of his career and become a more aggressive defenseman. I'm not sure. But he's a worry for me. I'm concerned about how he's going to play under Haxtell versus Berube.
I think if I had to choose to, and I'm going to be real quick about this, I think that Braden Schenn is going to exceed expectations. I think right now the expectation on him is very low, considering what we saw in preseason as far as the usage he was getting from Haxtell and the trade rumors and all of that kind of stuff going around. But I think that if he's given some minutes, he'll do pretty well. On the other side of the coin, I think that RJ Umberger is going to do worse than we're expecting him to do, which doesn't seem possible, but I think that the expectation is that he's going to be markedly better than he was last year. Obviously not injured at this point. We expect that that's going to make him better, but I kind of just don't see how he fits on this team, and so I don't really think he's going to do very well. So those are my two picks, and before we close out the show, let's go really quickly around and see what you think the final score of tomorrow night's game against Tampa is going to be. Kurt, we will start with you.
I'll say 5-4 Tampa and 6-4 Tampa in a close game that ends in everyone saying, wow, look at how fast the Flyers are playing, even if they still stink defensively. Charlie?
All right.
I'll go with 4-2 Tampa. I think Tampa will break out to an early lead. I think the Flyers will make it close, but come up a bit short.
All right, you negative jerks. I'm going 5-4 Flyers with the opening night win. Yes.
Hope that happens.
Take it to the bank. Okay, thank you very much for listening to the first episode of Broad Street Hockey for the 2015-2016 season. Hopefully we'll have a lot more of these coming your way, and I hope you enjoyed it. Have a great night. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.